Welcome to Spiritual Grit, the podcast where we talk real talk about spirituality through the lens of activism and social justice. What happens when activism and spiritual practices collide? What sparks of change call for the grit we need to create meaningful strides in social justice? I'm your host, Leslie Ann Hobayan, poet, priestess, activist, professor, hip-hop dancer, and badass mama. Join me as we dive in to learn more about our deepest selves so that we can be better ancestors to create a stellar world for our descendants. Grab your dancing shoes and let's get groovy with the grit right now. Hello, loves. Welcome to another episode of Spiritual Grit. How are you on this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day? I hope wherever you are, you're feeling good, or at least feeling in gratitude for your ears that can hear this podcast, for the breath that fills your lungs. Let's take a deep breath together. Inhale through the nose and exhale out the mouth. Feeling so good, so good. Okay, so I pulled a card for you from the Starseed Oracle deck, and today we have Earth Pulsing. To describe the card would do it injustice, but I will try. It is a scene of mountains, snow-capped mountains in the background, some greenery in the middle with a waterfall coming down, and then down into the water with some pink, you know, just pink color. It's like a painting, so I really can't describe it. But pulse of the mother, slow down, time in nature. So I don't know if you're feeling it, but Saturn in Pisces is an adjustment for me. Last week was rough. This week, less rough, but not necessarily in full like dun, dun, dun. But I'm feeling the shifting happening. I know that Mars has turned direct, which is like, thank freaking God. Hallelujah. We made it. Now when we take action, it will feel like forward progress. Yes, Mars is the planet of action, in case y'all didn't know. All right, so Earth pulsing, pulse of the mother, slow down, time in nature. A mysterious pulse is woven through all of life. The planet itself has a rhythm. You can see it in the seasons and the tides. In our world of artificial lighting, long hours, and modern conveniences, it's easy for us to feel stuck or off kilter. Ain't that the truth? This is why I use tarot, because it helps me come back to me and helps me to come back to this moment. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. It's time to reconnect with nature and surrender to the pulse of the earth. Earth pulsing is my favorite tool for surrendering to the rhythmic pulse of the mother and the entire universe. So there's a download, Earth Pulsing Meditation at starseedoracle.me if y'all want to check it out. I think I'm going to check it out later because it sounds amazing. So today, many of us are just disconnected from the land beneath us. Somewhere along the way, a severing happened, a moment when it became too painful to stay connected. We feel unsupported and as if we don't belong. We look to other people and the external world to fill the void of the connection, holding and belonging once given to us by the earth. Taking, clutching, conquering, longing for others to receive us fully as the mother once did, forgetting that she's still here, waiting for us to remember and activate the part of us that longs to receive her embrace. When you consciously connect with the earth, a veil is lifted and she opens up and receives you more fully. You are able to drink from her sweet waters and release what no longer serves you. Stagnant energy falls away and you become connected to all the things on the planet. It is freaking magical. So I'm going to talk about that in a second. The starseed activation. So pretend you have the card of this beautiful painting of Mother Earth. Put your hand over your heart and you can say this. I surrender to the pulse of the mother. May my heart beat in unison with her. Okay, so a few things I want to come back to. First, physically connecting with Mother Earth. How many of you place your hand on a tree? I do it as much as I can. You know, just find a tree, place your hand on its bark, and you close your eyes, root your feet into the earth. Even if you have shoes on, it's fine. Just, you know, imagine rooting down into the earth, and you can feel the energy of the tree. Close your eyes, of course, and be willing to look like a weirdo, okay? It's fine. It's fine. People are going to make judgments of you no matter what you do. You could look normal and they'd be like, that girl's too normal. You can look weird, be like, that girl's too weird. You know, whatever. It's going to happen. So just let the judgments of other people fall away. It's none of your business. That's their business. You know, they want to judge you. That's their business, not yours. Your business is taking care of you. So place your hand on the bark of a tree. Feel yourself rooting into earth. You can feel the energy of the tree. Oh man, is it amazing. It's subtle. So you got to practice. You know, the first time you do, if you've never done it before, the first time you do it, you're like, okay, I don't feel anything. You got to get quiet and just like really feel into the tree, you know, with your hand against the bark, feel the bark, and then you'll feel a little humming or maybe like a little vibration. But the more you do it, the stronger the energy becomes, the more you can feel. It's so good. And for me, it's so nourishing. Like, trees are my best friends. I was telling that to somebody last night. I was like, trees are my best friends. And she was like, okay. Like, she wasn't judging. She was just like, oh, okay, cool. She wasn't like, you know, woo like me, but she just appreciated that I was like, that I was declaring trees as my best friend. So that's one way to connect with Mother Earth. The other is to just be barefoot. Wherever you are, you know, the beach is not the only place to be barefoot. You can be barefoot in the grass, you know, you can be barefoot in a garden, like really feel the dirt, the tilled dirt between your toes, whatever it is, that is your direct connection with Mother Earth. And that is so nourishing, even if it's just for like 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is. But that nourishment will last you all day, no matter what you do. I'm telling you. Okay, sorry. I just get very excited about these things. Sorry, not sorry. I mean, that sorry was not an apology. I want to make that clear. That's just like a throwaway thing that I need to be more mindful about. Because I'm not in the habit of saying sorry. I just, it's just a habit I need to shed. Okay, so continuing on. Right? We forget that Mother Earth is here for us. And so in order for us to connect with ourselves, we also need to connect with her. A lot of us have these digital experiences where we're talking to people on Zoom, we're texting people, we're emailing. Like, how many of us are actually engaging with physical people? Like talking to them? Like, I have a largely digital interaction with people. Right. But I'm thankful that I have a teaching job, part-time teaching job, where I teach in person. So I interact with my students in real time, physically there. I can feel their energy. I know what they need to learn, where they're open, where they're not, you know, and I have conversations in real time with them. And that is amazing. But I also kind of just miss being social with people in general. So I make conversation with people I interact with just anywhere, you know, whether it's the cashier at Target or ShopRite or the gas attendant, you know, I make small talk. And it's not small talk in like the meaningless, like, hey, what's up? You know, yeah, whatever. I make jokes, you know, like if there's something going on with the weather, I'm like, hey, you know, don't get wet out there when it was like pouring rain or something. You know, I just like interacting with people and making them laugh. And that's the thing that I think a lot of us forget is play and fun is part of being human. There's a lot of stuff out there that's like, you got to heal your wounds. You got to like, you know, heal your trauma and all these things. And it has to be hard and it has to be heavy, but it doesn't. It doesn't. It really is about being a whole human where you can hold both grief and joy together at the same time. We experience many things at once. We experience multitudes of emotions. And that's part of the joy of being human. It's like these complexities that we not only experience, but we embody. You know, like Walt Whitman was not wrong when he said, I contain multitudes. Because each of us contains multitudes, whether that's like different roles we play in life or different passions that we have, or just experiencing emotions that seem contradictory, but we hold them together at the same time. So let us honor our humanness by coming back to the earth, and then allowing for Mother Earth to wash away the things that no longer serve us. And when I say things that no longer serve us, it's the things that are keeping us stuck. It's the things that are stagnant. Like let's just take clothing, for example, right? Let's take clothing as the example of energy that no longer serves us. There are pieces of clothing in your closet, I'm telling you now, that you have forgotten about, that has been sitting there taking up space for years, way back in the closet or at the bottom of your dresser drawer, and just sitting there taking up space. And you're like, okay, we gotta do an audit of the closet, a clothing audit is what they call it, right? Gotta pull out all the clothes and go through everything. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, donate, trash, whatever, right? You pull that out, that one item that's like in the way, way back. Let's say it's like, I don't know, a jacket that you bought on a whim like 10 years ago. Yeah, I'm talking like 10 years ago, you totally forgot about it, right? And then you pull it out and you're like, oh, I forgot about this. And you look at it and you're like, yeah, I remember this moment when I bought it, it was so cute. Then you put it on and you're like, not cute anymore. And then you get rid of it. You donate it somewhere or you give it to someone who thinks, you know, you think they would like it. But you have to be real with yourself. You got to be real and say, all right, is this something that feels good when I put it on? If the answer is no, say goodbye. And then see what happens. You open up space for new awesomeness to come in, for new magic to flow in. And then the stagnant waters start to move. And then new life starts to come in and you're like, ooh, I'm not stuck anymore. This is what I think a lot of us are dealing with right now as we adapt to this new way of living after going through isolation, quarantine, lockdown, pandemic, whatever you want to call it, whatever the last 3 years have been. We are working to adapt to this new way of living. It might look the same, kind of, but you can't unknow the experiences that we had the last 3 years, both individually and collectively. So we need to take a look at where we're stuck, where we're moving, not moving. Because when you are stuck, it's normally a response in favor of safety, where your nervous system, your ego is like, no, this is familiar. We like it. We want to stay here. It's comfy. It's cozy. And we're just going to hang out here for a while. But your higher self is like, girl, we are restless. We don't want to be here. We're not growing when we stay here. But ultimately, you have free will. So I'll just wait. Our higher selves are just like, crossing their arms over their chest, patiently waiting for us to take action. How can we take action if we don't even know what action to take, right? If we're stuck, what do we do? It's sort of like this catch-22, this self-fulfilling prophecy, whatever you want to call it, where we're like, okay, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. I only know this thing to do. I don't know how to get out of my stuckness. What do I do? Because there's that, you know, fact that you don't know what you don't know. What you have to do is move beyond what you don't know in order to extend beyond your bubble of familiarity, in order to shift the stuckness out and break it up a little bit. So that's how tarot comes into play. Yes, my friends. Yes, yes. I told you I was going to talk about tarot. What tarot does is it serves as a mirror for the knowledge you already have within you. I know, it sounds crazy. It's like, how do the cards know? Well, everything is energy. All right, so let's talk about metaphysics. Well, first, let me just tell you what tarot is, okay? Well, I'm jumping ahead, getting ahead of myself. I need to just, like, step by step, let's start from ground zero, block one. Like, step one, foundation. All right, tarot is a divination tool. It is a tool, okay? It is not some predictor of the future. It's not some devil's work, as some people like to believe. It is just a tool. It is a set of cards that have suits and numbers and archetypes. You know, it's just like any playing deck of playing cards, but with a few extra cards in there, right? And then we've got images and some meanings that are assigned to it. But for the most part, it's a deck of cards. Now, what that means as a divination tool is that you are the divine. Sometimes you get in your own way. I know that's for sure for me. I don't know how many times I have lived this life and people have come up to me and said, once you get out of your own way, so many awesome things are going to happen. And I'm like, what does that even mean? What does that mean to get in my own way? Okay, so let me answer that question, because someone might be thinking that, like, what does that mean? People keep telling me I get in my own way. I don't know what that means. All right, I'm going to break it down really simply. It's your ego. Your ego is getting in the way of you creating the thing, the life that you want. Your ego is saying, you know what? Let's second guess this. Or, you know what? Maybe that's not a good idea. Even though your heart is singing towards doing something, and your ego is like, yeah, that's too scary. We're just going to stay over here where it's safe and familiar and the place we've been stuck in forever. Yeah, that sounds good to me. And so you're like, okay, I'm stuck, right? So that's what it means in a nutshell to get in your own way. It's ego trying to keep you safe and you listening to that, right? Because it's safe, because your nervous system is like, ooh, you know, this doesn't feel good. We want to keep ourselves safe. So we need to engage in nervous system regulation, you know, engage in what the body is experiencing and how to assure the body that we are truly not in physical danger, that our survival skills do not necessarily need to kick in right now because we are making a decision to expand. You know, as there's a lot happening here. We need to connect mind, body, and spirit. And so when spirit wants to expand, mind comes in, is like, wait, let's talk about this. And ego is like, all right, this seems scary. Let's keep ourselves safe. Hey, body, I'm going to activate you into protection mode. So sympathetic nervous system kicks into gear and you're like, okay, we're going to do this thing. Okay, no, we're not. Yeah. So what tarot does is basically give you a message in your face that is a little harder to ignore. Yeah, you can ignore it. You know, there's so many people who like pull cards for themselves and they're like, yeah, no, that's not the one. Yeah, no, that's not the one. Yeah, no, that's not the one. And it's just the same message over and over again with different cards. And the cards are like, no, you need to look at this. But we can choose to look away and then see what happens, right? When we look away from whatever message the cards tell us, chances are the thing that happens after is not favorable. And then you're going to think back and be like, oh, I should have listened to the cards. So let me talk about the metaphysics, okay, of the cards. So what's happening is everything has energy, right? Everything is made of atoms. We learned this in like fourth grade science. Everything is made of atoms. And so each atom has energy, because if you look at, under a super powerful microscope, if you look at an atom, right, you've got the nucleus, which has protons and neutrons in there. And then you've got the electrons that are orbiting the nucleus. And so just think about these little electrons orbiting around the nucleus, right? That alone creates energy. That creates a vibration. Everything is made of atoms, which then builds into molecules, which then builds into like the solid things that we perceive. But under super, super powerful microscope, you will see that all these things that seem solid have a lot of space in them. There's so much space between the subatomic particles. And so everything is giving off a vibration. There's an energetic signature to everything, even the things that seem inanimate, right? For example, tarot cards. It's like, it's not an animated thing. It's just a freaking card, right? It's just a deck of cards. How is our energy coming out of that? Well, everything's made of atoms, right? And so when people select a card, their energy is talking to the energy of the cards. The energy that you are exuding responds to the energy of the cards, where your highest self is guiding your hand to the card that you need to read in that moment. Because your higher self is like, I know what we need to see. I know what message we need to hear right now. So we're going to go and get that card. And so what happens when you pull a card? Now, listen, there's no wrong card ever. Nope. Every time you pull a card, it's what you need to see. It's the message you need to receive. So you pull a card, right? And you look at it. And the magic of tarot is that you as an individual are changing all the time. The version of you who started this podcast is going to be a different version from the version of you that is going to be existing when you're done listening to this podcast. Why? Well, one, you're listening to the podcast, so you're getting more information. Information you can't unknow, right? Two, the environment around you is constantly changing. I mean, even if it's just the sun changing its position in the sky, right? Even if it's just your body saying, oh, you know, I got to pause this podcast episode for a second. I got to go pee, right? The version of you, the exact version of you, can never be duplicated in any given moment. And so that informs how you read the card. The moment you make contact with the card, the moment you look at the card and the image and the sensation that you feel when you draw that card, that is the message that you need to receive. And so that helps you make a decision. That helps you to go in a direction that feels guided. It's the way in which you can truly tap into your intuition and feel led by that divine guidance within you and get out of the stuckness. I mean, when you've got a physical card in your face, your ego has a harder time looking away. Your ego's like, oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, but we can choose to ignore that. And then you know how it feels to stay in that stuck place, and you know how much it sucks, and you know that you don't want to stay there. So you take the card as sort of a catalyst, an activation to be like, okay, I know I'm stuck here, but look, this card is saying, inviting me to go do this thing, or take a look, closer look at this thing, or to consider that thing. And then things start to shift and things start to move. And then magic happens. I'm telling you, magic happens. But I will say that intention is key. When using the tarot cards, your intention set in your mind helps you get more clarity about whatever message comes forward in the cards. So you can, you know, shuffle the cards and, you know, draw whatever card you want and then look at it. But then it might take a while for you to look at it and be like, all right, what am I supposed to get from this? Because you didn't set an intention. Right. So if you set an intention and then you, you know, shuffle the cards, you pick your card, whatever, and you look at the card and you're like, oh, okay, you'll get the message more quickly and more clearly. So that is how tarot cards come in handy for helping us get out of the stuck place, in helping us move towards alignment with our highest good. You got all that? Okay, so you're in luck. I am holding a pop-up workshop on Saturday called How to Tarot Through Midlife. I also was calling it Telling Your Story through tarot, but I just like to how to tarot. I like making tarot a verb. How to tarot. So come learn how to tarot. Get a card, a deck of cards, bring it to the class. We'll talk a little bit more in detail about what each card signifies and how to actually draw cards that are more in tune with your intuition. And we'll also just have some fun with using cards to help with storytelling. If there's a story stuck inside of you, you can, you know, draw some cards for that or any kind of stuckness. We're going to use the cards to help you get unstuck. So that, my friends, is my little episode for you today. Short and sweet because Saturn in Pisces is really calling for me to just get to the point and move on to whatever else is on the horizon. Anyway, so let's see. I will close this episode with a poem. This one is by a dear friend, Evie Shockley. Her new book just came out. It's called Suddenly We. And I was at the book launch party last night, and it was so fun. So great to hear poems again, to be in community with lots of people who are there to celebrate poetry, which is so good, so fun. Okay, so this poem is called The Blessings. It is from her new book, Suddenly We, The Blessings. And it has an epigraph from Nikki Finney, which is this: "The things that I give birth to matter. The things that I give birth to other things." Nikki Finney. I gave mine away, not all, but the greater portion. Some would say, I gave away the ready claim to goodness, to purpose. I gave away Mary, Sarah, and Isis. I gave away necessity and invention. I gave away a whole holiday, but kept Billy. I gave away the chance to try and fail to have it all. I gave away the one thing that makes some men pay. I gave away the pedestal, the bouquet. I gave away Nell Wright, but I kept Sula, peace. I gave away the fine-tooth comb, but kept the oyster knife. I gave away the first word, the new mouth forms, the easiest to parlay across so many languages, escaping the maw. I gave away the power to hold and be held in, sway. But I kept Cho, Parton, Finney, Chapman, and Tomei. I gave away the Eve who left the garden that day, but kept the cool, green, shady, fruitless, fruitful stay, the evening that did not fall away. All right, my friends. And that closes our episode for today. So here we go. The divine light in me bows to the divine light in you. Until next time, namaste.
If you're feeling like fighting the good fight is bringing you down and hope is starting to fade, grab my free 7-day meditative challenge, Spark Joy in Chaos, by signing up for my newsletter, which will be more light to your inbox. Go to suryagyan.com/subscribe.